Let's pray. Lord, we come to your word, Lord, and your word's never empty. It's full of wondrous things. And we pray that even those portions of scripture that we're familiar with, that we might hear something new, something which just touches our souls, Lord, in a very positive way. So bless us, Lord. We pray that all that is said here will be from you. Anything that's not from you, Lord, we pray that will be quickly forgotten. But we will remember what you have for us. So we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Now, as I said, I know your harvest Thanksgiving was last week. And I believe, Tom, you were hauled in at the last minute to preside over that. So I'm sure you had a good time. But I want to perhaps speak or emphasize another aspect of harvest, that it's not just about what we receive from the soil, which we do give thanks for, but it should also remind us of God's total provision for us. The life that we have, the love that we receive, the friends and family, warmth, security. That harvest should be a time of thank God for everything, both physical and spiritual. But it should also remind us of the harvest that we are called to reap as Christians. And that harvest is one of souls. We are called to reap souls. And harvest is a good time to remind us of that. You see, it's here that Christians can make a difference in the world, and in doing so, fulfill the calling that God has placed on our lives. If we know Jesus, that's the calling that has been placed on our lives. I love this quote from Winston Churchill. I don't know where he stood in relation to Christian faith. But there's a real truth in this very simple statement. He says, we make a living from what we get. We make a living from what we get. But we make a life from what we give. And you see the subtlety of that, but tremendous power in those two words. See, we do receive blessings from God, but we receive blessings from God so that we can give them away. That's in its simplistic form. We receive blessings from God so that we can give them away. And it's this aspect of harvest I want to talk about today. And I've headed this sermon, Keys to the Harvest in the Kingdom of God. Keys to the Harvest in the Kingdom of God. And I've identified seven keys, hence the seven readings. Somebody's got a slip with number one, headed seed. Can you stand up and just read that out loud, please? Familiar with that verse, aren't you? The mustard seed. See, the first key to any harvest is the seed. Without the seed, there can be no harvest. And in kingdom harvest, the seed is the word of God. The word of God is the seed that must be planted in the hearts of men and women. And there's power in this seed. As we just read there, every seed, even a tiny seed, can become a big tree. So we need the word of God, and we need to be thinking how we can plant the word of God into the hearts of men and women. Without that, there will be no harvest of human souls. Somebody's got to read in number two.
Fields, they are ripe for harvest.
second key to the harvest in the kingdom of God is the season. You know, harvest can be done during the harvest season when the crop is ready to be harvested. I don't know about you, but as I was traveling around in my car, the last sort of 6 or 7 weeks, I found the farmers are very busy. The tractors are on the lanes, and the baling machines are blocking the traffic. A lot of activity. And even if you're traveling at night, you'll see the farmer with his headlights on the tractor bringing in the harvest. Got to get it in, because if you miss the timing, then you miss the harvest. The harvest is ruined. If you don't get it in the right time, it is indeed ruined. And in the kingdom of God, this harvest season, when is it? Well, Scripture says harvest time in the kingdom of God is now. The fields are ripe for harvest now. Hallelujah. Come back to your vision statement, knowing, growing, and showing. When do we do that? Now. The harvest is now. And if we fail to harvest the souls at this time, then the entire harvest will be lost. What is the season? Season is now. Somebody's got a number three. Servants.
This is Jesus speaking. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "No, I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did his father want? The first, they answered.
Bringing in of a harvest requires servants. Some are willing, some are not willing. Some start off saying they're willing and then, well, they just don't show up. Some start off not being willing, but they have second thoughts and think, yeah, I really should be there. We all can fall into either one of those categories, can't we? But we do need servants, and you and I are called to be servants in the harvest of souls. You know, sometimes we get bogged down by our failures when we should have volunteered when we didn't. When we didn't give everything to him when we should have done. And we can get really bogged down. We can get dragged down. And I think what I want to say is that our failures to be servants in the harvest, our failures, we shouldn't allow them to be millstones around our necks so that we never, ever get off and do anything. But rather use our failures as a springboard into doing something positive. Harvesting the kingdom of God requires servants, and they come in all shapes and sizes, all sorts of records, good and bad. Servants. Somebody's got a sheet marked four. Soil. Thank you. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and they grew up and increased many fold. The fourth key to the harvest is the soil. Seeds sown by the wayside or among thorns or among rocky soil will fail to yield much, if anything. Only seeds sown on good ground will bring forth fruit. And Scripture says 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So it's important, therefore, to prepare the soil. How do we do that? As Christians in Kingdom Harvest, we pray. We pray. It's important to prepare the soil by prayer before sowing. I know in the time I've been with you, we've talked a lot about prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. It prepares our hearts, and it prepares, and it says to God, these people are really serious. So we need, when we think about a kingdom harvest, we need to pray. We need to pray before sowing the word. So that when they do hear the word, their hearts are receptive to what they're hearing. Prayer is the soil. Number five, sacrifice. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Strange thing to say, but I think we understand it. You see, the fifth key to the harvest in the kingdom of God is the willingness to sacrifice. Willingness to sacrifice. God's people should be willing to sacrifice their time, sacrifice their energy, their talents, their money and pleasures and comforts to bring in the harvest. As long as we cling to everything that we have, make that the focus of our lives, as long as we refuse to sacrifice, well, we'll not get involved in the harvest of souls. For a long time, as a Christian, I remember being very grateful that I was to be found at the cross of Jesus. And I basked in the glory of that for a long time. You know that warm feeling? Just being there and just feeling ever so grateful for that. And I just wanted that to just like a warm sun, just to be there forever. But I realized that many years later, I realized I needed to move away from that. I needed to move away to let other people in to experience that. I needed to know that I needed to sacrifice something, that it wasn't a one-way street, that I too needed to sacrifice rather than just receive. We need to sacrifice if we are wholehearted about getting involved in the harvest. It doesn't mean that we all should wear sackcloth and not wash, and it doesn't mean that. But I think God challenges each one of us in our own way, and we know when we sacrifice, and we know when we don't sacrifice. And it's about responding to that call. But sacrifice is important in the building and reaping of the harvest in the kingdom. Number six, showers. The sixth key to the harvest in the kingdom of God is the showers. And you know that rain is indispensable for the harvest in human terms. The harvest in the kingdom of God also depends on rain of the Holy Spirit. It needs the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All our efforts and labours must be undergirded by the move of the Holy Spirit. Will we allow the Holy Spirit to do that? Will we allow the Holy Spirit to challenge us? Will we respond to that Spirit? Because without the Spirit of God, then all our efforts will be in vain. The Holy Spirit was often preached 10, 15 years ago. I can't remember the last time I heard a sermon on the Holy Spirit. We sort of seem to have sidelined, pushed it to one side. And yet without the Spirit of God moving amongst us, then all our efforts will simply be human efforts and will count for nothing. So perhaps we need to let the Holy Spirit move again within our individual lives and our corporate lives. And seventh and last is a sure hope. Somebody's got a sure hope. Brother.
Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual favour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.
So the seventh key to the harvest is the sure hope and confidence we must have in expecting the harvest. See, if we enter into it and we're not sure, we're not confident, then we reap what we sow. All our labours must be undertaken with the firm assurance that God will bless our efforts and we will surely reap the benefits. See, if we lose confidence, Scripture says, we will get discouraged and we labour with doubt and reluctance. So labouring with faith is indispensable to the success of our efforts in bringing in the harvest of human souls to the kingdom of God. Labour with faith. See, faith demands that even in the tough times, even when all the signs are that things are not working out as we would hope them to be, but still having the faith, that's real faith. Faith isn't faith until it's all we're hanging on to. Someone once gave me a wonderful poster. It was a woven basket with a big high handle. Can you picture a woven basket, big high handle? And there was a little kitten just hanging on to the top of the handle. And underneath it said, faith isn't faith until it's all you're hanging on to. Faith doesn't mean that everything's going to be right and everything's going to be wonderful. Faith will have its dark days, but then we really find out what faith's about in the dark days. But don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Because God will surely honour our faith and grant us an abundant harvest. We need to be confident in that. So the seven keys to the building of the harvest. So just as I wind this down, we need to give thanks for what we have. But we also need to let our harvest time be a reminder of what we are born and saved to be as Christians. What are we born and saved to be as Christians? The harvest is the consequence of what we sow. And if we sow to please God, then the consequences will be eternal life and daily blessings. The seeds that we sow every day are the words. Not just the word of God, but the words that we speak each day to our loved ones, to our families, to our neighbours, to the people we meet in the street. Every word we speak is like a seed. Do we ever ask ourselves, I wonder what kind of word seeds am I sowing? Are my words always a blessing to others? Let us pray. Lord, you saved us for a purpose. We thank you for the blessings of that salvation. But we are also saved so that others might come into your glorious kingdom. Lord, show each one of us the unique role that we have to play in the bringing in of that harvest. Each of us is different. Each of us are of a different age. Each of us have different gifts. But there's no one who cannot be a servant in the bringing in of the harvest. Lord, just reinforce within us our unique roles as individuals and as a church. Lord, we pray that the vision that you have given them becomes more and more meaningful as the days move on. Lord, give us indeed strength for today and bright hopes for tomorrow. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for sharing with me in that sermon. It's also the first Sunday of the